This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I want to read this to you guys. We just got a little bit of breaking news. The legendary voice of the Jayhawks, Bob Davis, passed away. This is a press release from the University of Kansas. Bob Davis, the legendary voice of the Jayhawks for more than 30 years, has passed away at the age of 80. His family announced he is survived by his son, Stephen, his daughter-in-law, Katie, and his grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his wife, Linda, who actually recently passed away. Bob and Linda were married for 53 years. Bob passed away Thursday, March 20th. Bob Davis began his KU career in 1984, retired in 2016. This is the quote from Kansas Athletics. Quote, Bob Davis is synonymous with KU Athletics for a generation of fans who grew up listening to some of his calls of some of the most important moments in Kansas basketball history. Bob's love and passion of the Jayhawks shined through during broadcasts with his beloved radio partners for more than three decades. Bob represented Kansas Athletics in exemplary fashion and connected Jayhawks fans everywhere with his famous one-liner and detailed storytelling. I got the chance to meet Bob Davis a couple of times, and he could not have been any nicer to me. He was somebody that I looked up to, not as the voice of the Jayhawks, but you remember back in those RSTN days, it would be Bob Davis and Paul Splittorff who would call the game. So rest in peace to Bob Davis. Really sad news that Bob Davis has passed away. Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com to highlight the Tigers, whose season ended last night at the hands of Drake. Gabe, happy to have you on, my man.
Yeah, what's going on, Carrington?
Let's just start with this. What was it like to be in the building yesterday? Because you could just feel it watching it at home on television. That crowd was pleading with Missouri to go on a run to get back in the game. And they made it interesting for a while, but Drake just made more plays in the final 5 minutes of the game, and they're the one moving on in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely more Missouri fans there. When Missouri made the run to get within one, I mean, that place was loud. It sounded like a home game. And like you said, Missouri fans wanted to be there all weekend. We expected we would be there all weekend. I think the first time I thought, was probably with about 12 minutes left in the first half. And it just never really got better. Missouri was lucky. Against a better offensive team, Missouri would have been on 20 in the first half. It could have been a blowout, but Drake doesn't do that. Drake doesn't run away from teams, and they kept Missouri in it by turning the ball over and missing a bunch of free throws. But Missouri could just they had an 8 minute stretch and they went on like a 10-0 run, something like that. But that was it. Outside of that, they got dominated in that game.
You and I talk enough that I feel like you and I are on the same page about this, and we can talk enough about specifically about Dennis Gates and the things that I think he did wrong in this game. But quite simply to me, Missouri just didn't make enough shots to win this game, especially early on. Yeah. They scored 23 points in the first 20 minutes. They made 15 shots in the game. You can't score less than 60 points in 2025 and think that you are winning a college basketball game against a good team like Drake.
Yeah, and the first 6 minutes I thought actually went the way Missouri would want. Drake was having a hard time getting the ball to midcourt. Drake was making – like, they had made one field goal in, like, the first 7 minutes of that game. But Missouri didn't make them pay for it. Missouri couldn't score, you know. And even in the comeback, I mean, it's 54-51, and Marquez Warwick has a wide-open three on the wing, and he just didn't make it. You know, I mean, it's a good shot. It's the right shot. You have no problem with the guy who took it taking it, and he just didn't make it. And – yeah, that is not absolving Dennis Gates of responsibility for last night, because he shares some, but you know how it is. Every game now in college, I don't care what sport, every game. Well, he chose the players, so even if the players were bad, it's all his fault. It is completely, like, we are incapable anymore of analyzing sports. We just blame the coach.
Where I thought Dennis Gates made his biggest mistake was there was that stretch there in the second half that I thought Missouri came out pretty composed, and they just allowed Drake to just get way too many easy baskets. That once Missouri's offense started to wake up, you got to get stops on the other end too, and they just didn't do that enough, not in this game, not in the second half of the season. Since March started, Missouri has given up over 50% shooting from its opponents. I don't care how good your offense is. It's just hard to consistently beat good teams at this time of the year if you can't get stops on that end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, they ultimately lost this game because of their offense, but that stretch, the first 8 minutes of the second half, I mean, it was a layup line. Drake had like three dunks and four possessions at one point, you know, and that's not a team that likes to fast break, but if you're just going to give up turnovers for easy buckets, they'll take advantage of it, and they did. You know, you can definitely – I thought it was a little weird changing the starting lineup for the first time in, you know, however many games, and starting Caleb Grill, and I didn't ask why, because that's not what lost the game or anything. But there were some other things in there. You know, I actually wouldn't have hated to see T.O. Barrett a little bit sooner. I thought he was the only guy that actually played well last night on Missouri's team.
Gabe, who's the player maybe that you would, I don't know if single out is the right phrase, that you would kind of look at and say, man, that was just a disappointing effort? Because you and I and every Missouri person spent the time talking about how Drake was going to have a tough time defending Mark Mitchell. And I don't feel like they had a tough time defending him at all. Like, when I think of Mitchell's game, it is you get him in open space, you get him downhill, and you get him attacking the basket. I didn't see nearly enough of that yesterday from Missouri's best offensive player.
Yeah, Mark's not alone. Like I said, I think literally everybody except one kid played a below average to flat out poor game. But I thought Mark might have 30 in that game. And he had not scored until there was a minute 15 left in the first half. And then he had 5 points in two possessions. And I actually wrote, I said, if they do that every possession in the second half, if they run everything through him, they might still be able to win the game. And then they didn't. And frankly, Mark made it impossible to do because he just couldn't make anything. He was 2 for 8. You know, and we've seen Mark have trouble finishing at times when he doesn't get rewarded with the foul call and get to the free throw line. And so, again, he was not alone. I thought Ant Robinson's game was unbelievably disappointing. Tony Perkins, I thought, was like a big game NCAA tournament guard, and he basically benched himself with back-to-back turnovers late in the first half. I think he played 2 or 3 minutes in the second half. So there were a lot of guys that were not good. But Mark was the one that you thought was going to be big in that game, and he wasn't.
Right now we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. I'm sure you've seen it on your website, a lot of fan disappointment with Dennis Gates, and I get it. It's after a loss. Yeah. People are not going to say very positive things about you after you lose. I mean, I look at his first 3 years. I think that last year is a little bit overblown. I think they got it right in the transfer portal. Injuries just happened. They didn't have Caleb Grill at any point in SEC play. They didn't have the Tanji kid at any point in SEC play. And then it just starts to spiral, and then it just kind of collapsed completely from under them. I think that Gates has proven that he is a good coach, and I think we're trying to figure out if he is a great coach and what that next level is. How do you assess his first 3 years at Missouri?
Yeah, overall, you know, solid, but there are more questions right now than you want there to be. I mean, let's be honest. He's been to two NCAA tournaments. He has one win over Utah State, and he has lost two games fairly decidedly to Drake and Princeton that just didn't have anywhere near the level of talent he did. And I understand you, it's unfair to judge entirely on the NCAA tournament, but I mean, this, the way this sport is, that is a final that's worth 60% of your grade. And he did not fail the initial final, but like he got a, you know, he had a path to the Sweet 16 and he can get there. He failed this final. I mean, this was an F. This was their worst game of the year. And then in between, I don't think it was overblown. I understand there are reasons for it, but it's, I mean, had they just won three games, people feel differently. I'm just telling you, Carrington, I hear from them every day. There are people that will never get over it. Like, Dennis Gates will never win with some people because of zero last year. And, you know, I think the criticism is too strong today, but I also think it is very fair to be disappointed. And I don't think you can sit here and say, I know this is the guy to get this program where I want it to go. Now, he's going to get a chance. He's done a solid job. But here's the other problem Missouri has. They have a lot of people that are my age that grew up when that was a top 15 program in the country. Now, it underachieved in the tournament, but like they won conference titles and they were ranked number one in the country and they went legitimately head to head with, you know, Kansas and Oklahoma and the best in the Big Eight and had a couple, you know, reached the Elite Eight a few times and all that. And that's the standard for people who grew up watching it. That is a standard that has not been met by this program for 30 years.
And one thing that I think is always interesting, because you're a little older than me, so just like I don't have that exact frame of reference when it comes to this program, but I will say about Missouri fans is anytime there is a possibility they are good at basketball, people run back to Mizzou Arena just to get a feel of what it used to be like.
Yeah, look, this fan base cares about basketball. There's no question. More so than I think any fan base in the SEC outside of Kentucky. You know, and that's why it is so baffling and so upsetting to the fans that Missouri's been so bad at it for, you know, since joining the SEC. And not that Missouri was bad this year. Missouri was solid this year, but the concern, I think, for fans is, what if this is our ceiling? Is that good enough? And for them, I don't think it, you know, I don't think winning like 22 games, finishing in the middle of the league and maybe winning one in the tournament is good enough for the ceiling.
Last thing here, Gabe, because I know on you guys' website, you're going to be tracking the transfer portal very hard over the next 2-3 weeks or so. What do they need? What does Missouri need to go out there and grab in the portal?
Well, part of it obviously depends on who leaves, right? And we don't know for sure who's gonna stay, who's going to go, because we don't know about that about any team. They need two shooters because Tamar Bates is gone and Caleb Grill is gone. So two shooters / scorers. And I think they need a big man who's an offensive threat, because I think Mark Mitchell could have a huge year if you can put somebody next to him to take some pressure off of him. But, like, if you're asking Mark to be the big guy and the only one that's really a threat on offense, I don't think that's fair.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today to talk about Missouri as their season has come to a close. Gabe, I'm sure at some point we'll talk here over the next couple of months or so as Missouri gets ready for spring football, and we'll get ready for football. It'll be right around the corner right before we know it. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com popping on and joining the show today. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to pay respects to Bob Davis. The press release is out. Bob Davis, the legendary voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, also a legendary voice with the Kansas City Royals, has passed away. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is what I would like to do. Rob, let's do this. We're going to pay respects to Bob Davis. Let's go through some scores and and what's kind of happened today in the NCAA tournament. We'll do that. I got a chance to meet Bob Davis a handful of times. I'll never forget the first time that I met Bob Davis. It was at a Royals Fan Fest. And this was very early on in my career, and I had a bit that it would be really cool if Bob Davis did calls for like regular things that happen in your life. You know, it was like a funny bit or whatever. And as I was leaving Royals Fan Fest, Bob Davis came up to me and said, "Hey, I think it's really funny that you do that bit. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And we had a really cool 5 to 10 minute exchange. And I really appreciated that he came over to talk to me in that way. I've gone to know his son over the years, and I got a lot of respect for Steven. I got a lot of respect for Bob Davis. So to read this news that the longtime voice of the Kansas Jayhawks has passed away is sad news. Now, I don't have the closeness to him from the voice of the Jayhawks, but for me, he is one of those voices of the Kansas City Royals to me. There are some people that you just associated with. Some people for you, that's Denny Matthews, the longtime voice of the Royals. Ryan LaFever is one of those people. If you were like me and you watched the games on television as a kid, man, RSTN back on Metro Sports or 38 the spot, man, every Sunday, it was Bob Davis, it was Paul Splittorff, and then they expanded the television package, and when you're becoming a fan of a team, Bob Davis is one of those voices and people that you associate with the team. So, an incredible broadcaster, one of the best broadcasters that we certainly have got a chance to be around, a guy who had incredible versatility, a guy that could call football at a high level, called some of the most important college basketball games in recent memory, and a guy who over the summer, oh yeah, I can just call Major League Baseball. So certainly our condolences to the Davis family. Bob Davis has passed away. His family announced it earlier today. Now, you know, I would never do something like this. I would never do this. Rob, I'm going to allow you to play Bob Davis national championship calls on this show. Now, I love Bob. I imagine you love Bob. I got great respect for Bob and that family. But this has to be a special circumstance in order for me to approve for you to play Bob Davis, Mario Chalmers calls. Why would we listen to that? Especially on a day like today when they just got booted out of the NCAA tournament in round one. But you know what? I can't think of a better way to pay our respects to such a great man and such a great broadcaster. Rob, I will allow you to play the Mario Chalmers call from when KU won the national championship back in 2008.
10.8, here they come. Collins 7 seconds to go in the game. Collins got pushed, falls down, Chalmers shoots.
Oh!
Three, the game tied, 2.1. Memphis inbounding, a half-court shot. No good.
Unbelievable
overtime.
Shot.
Overtime.
Did you pull the block against Thomas Robinson? You better not have pulled the block against Thomas Robinson. You better not. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the drive folder. You think I'm playing that? You're crazy. You think I'm going to hear the Bob Davis call of the block on Phil Pressey? You think we're playing that on this show? Absolutely not. I'll give you one more, but we're not playing that one. We're not playing that one. I know you, block, I know you want to play it. Absolutely not. You know another one we're not playing either? We're not playing the touchdown pass to Kerry Meyer in 2009. We're also not playing that one. You know the one I'm talking about. Where they beat Missouri in air. We're not playing that one. I think that was the last time they beat Missouri in football, right? Wasn't that 09 year?
Yeah. They only played twice since
then. Yeah, that's the last time they beat them. Yeah, no, we're not playing that one either. No. I put some stipulations on here. I got all the respect in the world for Bob Davis, but I'm not letting you just run wild here and just play great KU highlights at the demise of Missouri. That's not how I'm letting things operate on this show. I'll let you play one more.
Hawks in great shape. Here's a three. No good. Rebound Kansas. Darrell Arthur. The Jayhawks are going to win it. Down to 5 seconds. Jayhawks win it in overtime. 75-68, KU national champions.
Hearing that made me sad. Not just because of Bob Davis and knowing that he passed. It made me sad because, well, KU won the national championship. I was in college when they won that national championship. I remember the excitement of so many of my dorm mates or whatever you call people, dorm neighbors, whatever the correct term would be. And I did not share in that joy and enthusiasm that they had that KU had won the national championship. Were you like, you were in high school, right, when that happened?
I would have been a junior in high school, yeah.
I'm sure it was a fun day.
I did go to Lawrence that day, that night, though. Me and some friends went down to Lawrence, went to Allen Fieldhouse to watch that game. We had a great night.
Sure you did. I mean, it can't be that great. You were in high school. You couldn't go in anywhere. Oh, hung out in the street.
I would still have to be en masse. It wasn't like it was, hey, we got doormen en masse. People were just walking around having a good time. I had a better night that night than you did.
No, that's a good point. I didn't have a great night at all. Didn't have a great night at all, actually. It was a terrible night. When did you know you were going to KU? When was the moment you were like, oh, I'm a Jayhawk?
Pretty young. My dad.
Did you ever consider going to K-State? Was there ever a time
K-State,
in your life?
No. I considered other smaller schools in Kansas for all the reasons that you should, because academics, I was like, hey, smaller classes might be better for me in academia. It's like the Baker, Washburn, yeah. Like that group, like Pitt State, they all got consideration. But if it was going to be a Power 5 school,
yeah, you're going to Kansas.
I was going to Kansas, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and that's making, I didn't know if one day you just went to Manhattan, you're like, man, I could see myself here.
I mean, once I knew the dream of being a D1 basketball player was kind of dead and scholarships weren't coming because I wasn't good at basketball, I resigned myself to, oh, yeah, I'm going to Kansas.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you, my college decision came down to three places. It came down to Mizzou, Northwest, and Missouri Southern. And I'd been to Columbia enough, so I didn't really need to, like, take a visit there and kind of see the campus. And I was also, like you, worried about class size. I went to a much smaller school in high school than you went to. And I was like, I don't know if this is in the best interest. Like, I don't know if I can learn this way. I was not very interested in attending Missouri for the school part of things. And I took a visit to Missouri Southern, and it was one of those things, like, I just knew. I was like, I felt very comfortable here. I made a decision. This is where I want to go to college. I'm very happy.
Did you ever look at Maryville? Did you ever go up to Maryville?
My mom wanted me to take a visit, but no.
You went one visit and done. You're like, this is the spot.
I went to Missouri Southern first, and I went on the tour, and I loved it. I was like, I want to go to school here. I told my mom. She was like, no, I want you to go to Northwest. And I was like, no, I don't have any interest, actually, in spending the weekend with you in Maryville. We just came from Joplin. I really liked it there. I filled out the application, and that's where I attended college. All right. Rest in peace to Bob Davis. Seriously, I know we were having a little fun about the calls, but I genuinely have all the respect and love in the world for Bob Davis and his family. So rest in peace to Bob Davis, who it was announced that he passed away earlier today. So special thoughts and prayers out to the Davis family as they are dealing with that. And at least how the press release read, his wife died last week, too.
I think it was very recently. I don't know about last week, but it was very recent.
In the release, it said March 13th.
Yeah, that oof.
Yeah, last week. Man, that's something from The Notebook. Your wife died last week, then you just died? That's sad, man. Rest in peace to Bob Davis. All right, let's do this. Let's try to liven the mood of this. Let's go through the scores. Let's update you on everything that's happened so far. And Rob, why don't we take a look ahead to tonight's action in the NCAA tournament?
Let's start with some scores around the league right now, around the tournament right now. Carrington, there are three games in action. Exactly one of them is watchable. We'll start with that one. 2 minutes to go. 3 minutes to go. Excuse me. On True TV right now, the 7-seed Vanderbilt and the 7-seed St. Mary's leads Vanderbilt in the East region. It's been a back and forth game. Not exactly the most great, most beautiful brand of basketball as it's 53-50, but a mid-major in St. Mary's has Vanderbilt on the ropes with 3 minutes to go.
Really quickly, can you turn the music down? I just want to turn the music down just a little bit. The people on the text line are asking for a swish. They're asking for a swish. I'll allow you to play one more swish for Bob Davis. I'll allow you to play one. So I don't know which one comes. I don't know which one.
I don't know if there's one to pull because he said it for every three he made. So I'm not going to go sift through the radio calls.
I don't know if he would have had a lot of swish calls for this team that we just saw, this KU team.
I would have loved his thoughts on Hunter Dickinson.
I don't even know if I could make a joke. I don't even want to make a joke. I had one popped in my mind. You know what? I'll keep that one to myself. All right, let's get back to it.
As I said, 3 minutes to go. St. Mary's leads Vanderbilt 53-50. This is the only mid-major that has been really competitive today with a Power Five.
Repeat it. I'm sorry.
St. Mary's a mid-major as they lead a Power Five right now in St. Mary's Vanderbilt?
Oh, that's a great question.
They are the 7 seeds. They're technically the better team, but
that's a great question. I would say yes, St. Mary's is a mid-major, but they feel right there on the fringe of it. That I do think they've crossed over in a way that if you're a college basketball fan, you've heard of them, and it's not abnormal for them to make the tournament. But I mean, other than Gonzaga, there's nobody else really consistent in their conference. I mean, they put guys in the league. That's a great question about St. Mary's. I do think that St. Mary's is a team that I think what has happened is because the SEC was so elevated this year and we spent so much time talking about the SEC that it kind of pushed down good teams from other conferences. Like we talked about the Big East and a team like Creighton that got a 9-seed. I think Creighton in most NCAA tournaments are probably a 5 or 6 seed, but because so many SEC teams got in, I think it pushed a team like Creighton. St. Mary's was the best team in the West Coast Conference. They were a better regular season team than Gonzaga was. They end up getting the 7 seed. Gonzaga gets the 8-9 matchup. They're probably a team that in a normal year would have been in that 5-12 matchup. So I do think what we've potentially seen is maybe some of those mid-major teams or teams from outside the group of four, I think they're better than some teams are better than maybe what their seed says just because so many at-large teams got in from one league.
The other two games in progress are absolute stinkers. Right now in the South region, 6-seeded Ole Miss is absolutely beating the brakes off North Carolina. 53-34, North Carolina did not deserve to be in this tournament, correct? We can look past their little play-in game win over San Diego State. This was a sign they weren't good enough. They aren't just losing in the 6-11 game. They're getting the doors blown off them.
I mean, one thing has been consistent this year about North Carolina. When they played a team that could dribble and chew gum at the same time, they got the brakes beat off them. We knew this coming into it. So it was obvious to spot. Yes, they were going to beat up on San Diego State. That was ranked 61st in the net rankings. Then they went up against an Ole Miss team in the SEC that was battle-tested and proven to be a good team. And now they are getting the ones that are getting the hands and feet put on them. This was obvious to see coming a mile away. I don't know why we did this. We do this in the media. And fans do it too, but we really do it in the media. We saw it full circle with North Carolina. On Monday, everybody told you it was a travesty that North Carolina was even included in this thing. They beat San Diego State. Now it's, oh, hey, I don't know. That team can make a run. They were the favorite. Wait, what? One neutral site game against San Diego State changed your opinion that much about the team? I'm telling you, it's disgusting is what it is. There's no other term I have right now. It's disgusting how hot and cold we are. This is obvious to see.
The only other game in progress right now, Carrington, speaking of a team getting the brakes beat off them, Grand Canyon with KC kid Tyron Grant Foster is down 42-24 right now to Maryland. Just if you don't consider St. Mary's a mid-major, then today the mid-majors are having a bad early slate.
They're having a tough time for sure. Really, can I answer this text really quick? C-Dot, I love how you've been obsessed with bashing all conferences and the SEC is starting to get picked off. Has the SEC lost anybody that people thought had a legitimate chance of doing anything? I mean, when you have 14 teams make it, I didn't think that the SEC was going to go 14-0 in round one. Who have they lost? Mississippi State? Missouri? Vanderbilt? That's the metric we were using.
Auburn looked shaky. Auburn looked a little bit shaky. Then won overall. Yeah. That they didn't lose, but they looked wobbly.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying is if you have 14 teams in there, if you are ready to have that stance because Mississippi State lost a close one in an 8-9 matchup against Baylor, you were ready to jump on the SEC from the very beginning. Now, if the SEC gets no teams in the Final Four, we can have that conversation. If they only get one team in the Elite Eight, we can have that conversation. You aren't selling me that because Vanderbilt lost. They had a losing record in the SEC. You're not selling me on that.
Let's look ahead to tonight's games as we get, I will skip past Florida Norfolk State because who cares? The first game of the night session, speaking of the SEC, Kentucky comes in action tonight against Troy, who recruits players via Waffle House. They're our second favorite team behind Drake right now.
I don't know anything about Troy. I'm rooting for him.
All I know
is their coach. I don't know anything else
about
Troy.
Do you know
Troy.
The coach's name? You just know the Waffle House thing.
His name is Scott. Scott something.
Don't look in the folder for how I saved it.
His name is Scott something. I knew it was Scott something. That's all I remember. Scott Cross is his name. I looked it up. Yeah, no, I'm cheering for Troy. I want Troy to win. I want Troy to pull off the upset. I just want something. And maybe that was Missouri losing yesterday, and that's fine. I don't feel like there's anything yet that's happened that's kind of stopped us all in our tracks. Now, I thought that you and I said this before, so we can even find the audio, where I said I didn't love the round one matchups. I thought round two is where it's going to start getting pretty interesting. If you like really look at it, I know we're not done complete with the bracket. It's a lot of big school against big school now as we head into the second round of the NCAA tournament. It's a lot of Auburn against Creighton. It's a lot of those games where I don't know if there's a big gap in talent. I think this weekend is when the tournament potentially heats up. But all the teams that people told me other than Drake that could pull off an upset, they've all lost. Everybody loved High Point. They got beat by double digits. UC San Diego, they lost yesterday. All the teams that people highlighted as those potential upsets, they all lost yesterday.
I'm going to say, we can go through each game if we want, but looking at the night slate, it's a lot more of that. Kentucky versus Troy. That's one. Okay, we like the Waffle House. Arizona versus Akron. Illinois versus Xavier. Michigan State, Bryant. I mean, outside of Liberty and Oregon, which we'll talk about separately because I think that one is interesting, tonight's slate does not feel like you're going to get that spicy, oh, can you believe so-and-so beat so-and-so? It feels like we're very chalky, and I know that Drake's the 11 and Arkansas's the 10, and they both won last night over our respective teams, but there hasn't been that moment. Even McNeese State felt a little bit expected. Does Colorado State count as that moment? We've been lacking in madness in March Madness.
Yeah, even for me, like someone says, what about McNeese State? I just didn't have a whole lot of confidence in the ACC. So one of their teams just being completely overvalued didn't do it for me. Someone says CDOT, but you have to admit the SEC shouldn't have had 14 teams. I agree with you there. I said that when it's happened. I don't think Texas should have made the tournament. I'm trying to think of who else in the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma were the two teams that I don't think should have made the NCAA tournament. Vanderbilt should have made it, though. Vanderbilt just lost their game.
They should have been a 10, but they should have made it. They should have been in the play-in game instead of Texas.
That's fair. I can live with that.
Like, if you want to count that as in, okay, we can like parse words, but Texas should have been out. They did nothing to be in.
I agree with you.
And Vanderbilt,
so did Oklahoma.
Vanderbilt should have been on the bubble where Texas was sitting. And North Carolina should have bounced out, and I would have put Oklahoma in that playing game. That's how I would have adjusted things. Oklahoma plays tonight, too, against UConn. How are they a 9? What? I know Jeremiah Fears is going to be a draft pick.
Yeah, it doesn't
pick.
Make any sense.
Nothing Oklahoma's done streaks, oh, that's a 9 seed in the tournament.
Yeah, I would say once you got past Ole Miss and Missouri, and I think Missouri was properly rated. I know they lost, but I think Missouri was properly rated as a 6. I think almost all the other SEC teams are overseeded. Off the strength of how good people thought the SEC was. Like, how is Vanderbilt? A 10 seed means you are firmly in the tournament. A 10 seed means you didn't have to sweat it out. That's what a 10 seed means.
Were Vanderbilt and Arkansas the same this year? I don't think they are.
I think Vanderbilt was better than Arkansas. A little bit. I don't think it was a wide gap between the two teams.
I would have said the opposite. I think Arkansas was better in SEC play than Vanderbilt and with a better non-con, but I feel like Arkansas was the safe in. I feel like Vanderbilt should have been sweating it a little more on Selection Sunday.
All right, coming up on the other side, we will have an emergency people's court coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back to talking about Missouri and Kansas. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. CDOT considers himself a man of the people. And now, he's asking for your help. Please help The Drive in the latest installment of The People's Court.
My fandom is always being questioned on the internet. And you know what? I've just accepted that it's fine. That maybe I cheer for my teams differently than you cheer for your teams. And I can accept that. After the game between Missouri and Drake, I tweeted out, I'm excited to cheer for Drake on Saturday. They have a great coach and a lot of local kids. I want to see them go make a run. I was instantly met with, you're not a real fan. How can you do that? My answer is simple. I see myself in Drake. Drake has 6 players that were born in or around Kansas City. They have 6 kids that also graduated and went to Kansas City high schools. That's me. That's you. That's Rob. That's a majority of the people listening. How can I live in Missouri, cheer for Missouri, now a team that has more Missouri-born players than any other team in the NCAA tournament? I can't cheer for them? Doesn't make sense to me. And this is a team that has somebody that is represented by all parts of the metro. If you live up north, they got a kid that played on Staley. They got a kid that played on Liberty. If you're a kid that grew up in the suburbs of Kansas City, you know, you consider yourself from Kansas City, but you're really not. You grew up like an hour away, but that's fine. You tell people you're from Kansas City. They got a kid from Plattsburgh on their team, Isaiah Howard, who won the Doreno Award last year, who had 7 points and had actually one of the bigger assists in the game. Rob, they got a kid on their school that went to Ruskin. He went at Ruskin, graduated from Ruskin, went to a prep school, then went to Drake. They also got a kid from William Chrisman on their team, and they got a kid from Springfield that went to Nixa. I'm not cheering against that team. They got the suburbs. They got the city. They got up north. They got everybody covered. Missouri side, Kansas side. They got a kid from Blue Valley Northwest on their team. I'm cheering for Drake. You will not make me feel bad cheering for Drake. You will not make me feel bad wanting the Kansas City kids to have success. I'm cheering for all of them. Colorado State, they just won their game against Memphis. Kyan Evans, he had 23 points today. They're going to the round of 32. He's a Kansas City kid. We can't come together to cheer for them. I got to be so salty. It's not like Drake beat Missouri on something controversial. They just beat him. They played better. They coached better. They made more shots. They played better defense. They beat them. I got to be sad the rest of the NCAA tournament. I can't jump back in and now find a team to cheer for. Rob, I think I was being very, very unfairly persecuted yesterday on Twitter. And I don't think that's right. People were calling out and questioning my Missouri fandom just because I don't want to sit and mope around that Missouri is eliminated from the tournament. I'm cheering for Drake.
So here's the thing. As a Kansas fan, I've been through a lot of March heartbreak, maybe is the best way to say it. March, my team gets upset by lower seed. I know this sensation all too well. 99 times out of 100, what you're doing is foul. 99 times out of 100. When KU lost to Arkansas in 2023, I wanted Nick Smith and shirtless Eric Musselman to get the brakes beat off them as soon as possible. Get those bums out of the tournament. I was cheering against Mark Few last year like you wouldn't believe. Farouk Manesh losing in the Sweet 16 brought joy to my heart. That's how it's supposed to work. That team beat my team. Screw them. I hope they lose immediately. But this year might be a unique case. It's because of what you just said. If Mizzou in the 6-11 game had lost to, I'm trying to think who the other 11s are, North Carolina, or had lost to Grand Canyon, just picking a random school. I know they're 13. If they had lost to one of those schools, if they lost to VCU in the 6-11 game, I think you have to cheer against the 11. But the fact that Drake is basically the Kansas City All-Star team, coached by the coach, I think every local fan was like, man, why didn't that guy take the UMKC job or at one point the Mizzou job? I thought he should have been considered at least. I think it changes the calculus. I think specifically for this season, it's okay to cheer for Drake. But 99 times out of 100, what you're doing is gross behavior. You're just in that 1% where you're allowed to do it.
Okay, I'm happy to know that. Have you come around on my side now that UMKC has made some mistakes? Now, I understand that these kids are playing in the NCAA tournament and they're playing at a high level, and possibly those kids wouldn't have stayed all 4 years at UMKC. If you get Bennett Sturts there, he balls out his freshman year, and maybe he gets plucked away from a bigger school. That is certainly a possibility. I've been hearing that K-State's going to reach out to Bennett Sturts. His girlfriend goes to school there. No. You missed your chance on getting Bennett Sturts. You had your opportunity. Had you offered him a scholarship or, hey, come walk on, we'll give you a partial scholarship, you would have Bennett Sturts. But no, you let him now grow a closeness with a coach. Wherever Ben McCollum is going, that's where Bennett Sturts is going. I think that Ben McCollum is leaving at the end of this season. I think he is going to take the Iowa job. I think Bennett Sturts is about to go be the best point guard in the Big Ten next year. Then that's what I think their plan is about to be. I think a majority of these kids are going with them. They could have got some of the other ones, man. They could have got the other ones. That the kid, Josiah, the big guy yesterday, he went to Ruskin. He then left Ruskin and went to a prep school. They could have got him. UMKC could have got him. Cam Maniow, that was on the show a couple of days ago. You want to know where he went to school before he went to Drake? He went to Wyoming. Don't nobody want to go to Wyoming. You could have got him. You didn't make the effort. I really hope that the people that run basketball over at UMKC are seeing what we're seeing. A Kansas City point guard just took his team against Memphis and scored 23-6, and he had 6 three-pointers. They advanced. another point guard from Kansas City, was not offered a D1 scholarship by any of you. He just took his team to the second round of the NCAA tournament. There's enough talent here that you guys should be good. You guys should be locally relevant. It does not make any sense to me how there is more Kansas City talent on Drake and Colorado State than there is on UMKC. You will never be able to explain it to me. It will never make sense to me. There's not a single kid on UMKC from the Blue Valley School District. Not a one. Not a single one from the Shawnee Mission School District. You couldn't get anybody from KC. Not a single one of them on the team. Doesn't make sense. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. I don't get it. There's enough talent here in the 816-913-785-66. You don't even got to go anywhere. Get those kids to come to your school. Win games. Seems like a good strategy to me. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, this is what we'll do. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Missouri. We'll talk about Kansas. We will recap their seasons as both of them came to a close last night in the NCAA tournament. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.